Hello, Luke. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Slayer. So what do you think got you sick, Luke?
Well, actually, this is what I know made me sick. Basically, I was 8 years old. My family and I, we were vacationing in Leavenworth around Christmas time. My brother and I, we decided, let's go sledding like we did every year. And once I hit this bump and I went flying off my sled and into the barriers. Fortunately, they were made of hay bales. But unfortunately, I woke up at like 4 a.m. the next morning vomiting. It turns out after a few hours, my parents decided to take me to the hospital and get a CAT scan. It turns out I had a concussion, and that's what made me throw up.
That will do it. That will do it, man.
Yes, it will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fortunately, we didn't have to, I managed to get, I don't know how long it took me to recover, but it wasn't bad enough that we just needed to go all the way back home to Puyallup or anything like that.
Yeah, sure.
Everything worked out okay in the end, ultimately.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, that's the best you can ask for with a concussion is that it works out in the end. If you believe that's
you,
the case.
In my instances, when I get them, I can't eat. There's just something about it that just makes, for whatever reason, it's just like there's still a bit of nausea.
Yeah, going on, say, yeah.
And it's just hard to swallow anything and keep it down. I mean, well, until the headaches go away, because typically you're getting a headache. Sometimes it's the equivalent of a migraine, I've been told.
Right.
I've never had a migraine headache.
But you've had a concussion.
I just know that was the worst headache as far as loud noises. Light, so I got a concussion.
That is very much like a migraine.
Got a concussion on Friday night. I did not feel normal until about Monday afternoon when we were going through film study from the game on Friday night. And that's when I learned that I did not remember any of the second half.
Yeah, but you had a great second half.
I was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was on fire. It was almost like for some reason my brain focused in, even though my brain wasn't there. It was like it's trying to overcompensate.
Probably just did the basics. You know what
they
would say?
Right. You just did the fundamental stuff. Right.
Lock into the thing you need to do.
Every read I knew, every check I knew, every ball I threw in the first half, I was garbage. I mean, I wasn't garbage.
But you're thinking too much.
Exactly.
You're not going to second guess yourself with a concussion. You're just
and when I'm in there, I just wanted to get the play over as quickly as possible and move down the field.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, because the feeling is at the time, because all you know is, at least this was the case in 1987, you've just had your bell rung.
Because that's what they called.
That's what they said.
They minimize how they say.
And you got, there's a lot of times.
Remember, PTSD used to be, he's got shell shock.
Right.
Right? It's this kind of blow-off statement. Now we're like, it's actually really bad.
What do you think made you sick? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Zach. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Could you hit that blind for me? I'm dying in here.
I could, but I'm not going to.
Please.
There we go. Yeah.
Okay.
So, Zach, what do you think made you sick?
So, I know what got me sick was the humidity. I was deployed to Afghanistan back in the early teens, and it was dry. It's obviously a desert. We saw rain only twice. I didn't get sick for the entire 11-ish months I was there. The minute we left Afghanistan and went to Uzbekistan to like as a layover for like a day before flying back to the States, we got there and it was negative 20 degrees, but it was 100% cold humidity.
Yeah. What is that like?
I mean, how cold does it feel at that point?
The difference in, at least in my opinion, if it's 0 degrees or negative 20 outside, you just can't tell.
That's a good point. Just cold. Yeah.
Okay.
Like the day we left Afghanistan, it was in January. It was 20 degrees ish when we like got on the plane. When we landed, the first thing the pilot says, "Welcome to Uzbekistan. It's negative 22 degrees outside."
Good God!
And I said out loud, "I said a few explicit as I obviously can't say on the air."
But
within an hour of leaving the plane and going to like the holdover tent that we kind of spent the night in, I instantly started like sinuses started swelling up. I ended up taking 4 NyQuil pills and a shot of NyQuil before getting on the 13.5-hour flight from there to Alaska.
Jesus Christ.
I'm surprised the plane could even take off when it's that cold, just based on the air. But I guess if it's humid and not dry, maybe takes off. You got to de-ice the damn thing, right?
Oh, yeah. So what ended up happening is we were supposed to leave at like 7 in the morning. And with the sun rising later, they ended up holding us in Uzbekistan until 9 when the sun could, like, crest over the horizon and hit the plane. And then they spent 30 minutes de-icing it, and they de-iced it until they turned it on and we took off down the runway. Like, they kept de-icing it until we were in motion.
Look, man, I've never had a plan to go to Uzbekistan, but hearing that, like, it won't happen.
You're not sitting. Are you in, like, a cargo plane, or are you in an actual commercial airline?
So from Afghanistan out, we were in a C-17. But then we took, like, we took a commercial airliner, but it was one of those Airbuses. I think it was 286, right around there, like the 280s, number of souls on board counting the crew.
Okay. And are you flying over the North Pole in that instance?
I want to tell you yes, but with 4 NyQuil pills and a NyQuil shot in my system, I slept. Within 10 minutes, I fell asleep, and then I was tapped on the shoulder awake in Anchorage.
Jesus.
And how much warmer did it feel in Anchorage than Uzbekistan?
Well, in Anchorage that day, if I remember correctly, they said it was in the negatives, but they had, like back in the day, I was, you know, everyone smoked cigarettes coming back from deployment. They were like, if you want to go outside and smoke, there is a special area here that you can go out that we've closed off this wing of the airport for you guys.
Now, can you guys smoke on the flight? Not on a passenger plane, but I mean, if you're on a big cargo plane and all that, can you light up?
They didn't explicitly tell us we couldn't, but you're packed in there like sardines.
Ah.
I'm 6'7".
Jesus.
I was just like kind of within myself almost just for the, and it was only like an hour and 50 minute, maybe 2 hour flight out. But that whole time you're just talking with your buddies like, oh my God, we're going home.
Are you afraid being that big that you're the biggest target to hit?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I was about to ask that.
Oh, yeah. I actually called you guys, this was months ago, but I mentioned this similar thing about, like, being in Afghanistan and being this tall, that I had a sergeant who tried to put me in a gunner's hatch of a Humvee.
I remember that call.
Yeah, that's insane.
And then my first sergeant seeing us as we're getting ready to leave the Bob going, hold the F up. Oh, no. Get him out of that. I can see his head, his face, and his shoulders above the metal plating.
You think the sergeant just wanted you dead? Be like, sup, bro? Let's do the math on this.
For what it's worth, him and I did not get along. I don't think he actively wanted me dead. I just don't think he cared what happened.
Why did you get such an ass assignment? I mean, you're flying to Uzbekistan and then flying to Alaska. And like, what the hell?
There's no easier way to get home.
Yeah. It, basically, on the way there, it was because I was based out of JBLM up here. So it was here to Maine.
Right.
Then we landed in Bangor, Maine. Then into Germany, and then Germany into Uzbekistan, and then Uzbekistan down into Afghanistan. And when you get to Uzbekistan, it's always a one-day holdover. On your way in, you do your rollover training, and then they kind of give you some extra equipment, and that's where you get all your ammunition. And then on your way out, it's mainly just a holdover of like, hey, you guys can't take a C-17. You're going to have to take a commercial liner. That thing's going to land sometime tonight. And instead of trying to pack you out at negative 20 degrees in the middle of the night, here's a giant tent with 11 space heaters. Go to sleep.
Afghanistan's got some of the biggest mountains in the world. Were you able to see those flying in?
When we flew out of Uzbekistan, or into Uzbekistan, sorry, from Germany, we could see a handful of mountains. It was, you know, really pretty to look at. When we flew out, it was night.
Okay.
So I couldn't see anything. But in Afghanistan, I was in the, like, southern region of Afghanistan. It was not too far from the Pakistani border, but we could see, you know, mountains, kind of, but a lot of just, like, taller hills, as I would call them.
Okay. All right.
Fair enough. Damn, man. That sucks.
Yes, it does. Everything about that sounds awful.
Okay.
But I guess Uzbekistan is, no matter what, going in, going out, like, sorry, fellas, we're stopping in Uzbekistan.
And they don't really sell the military on, hey,
luxury.
Mm-hmm. Smooth travel.
Yeah.
10 songs about rain coming up at 4:30, and we've got your emails on the way next from the men's room at KISW.com.